Hey folks, you guys know I'm always diving into the dark corners of history, unearthing the stories that are sure to chill. Mastering the art of storytelling and research isn't just a passion, it's a craft. That's why I turn to Masterclass. Whether I'm analyzing historical documents or piecing together ghostly tales, Masterclass has been an invaluable resource in honing my skills. Masterclass lets you learn from over 200 of the world's best minds right at your fingertips. And the best part is it's all available for just $10 a month with an annual membership. I've been particularly captivated by the class on investigative journalism taught by Pulitzer Prize winner Bob Woodward. His insights into uncovering the truth may have transformed the way I approach each episode here. What's incredible is that 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. And trust me, I'm one of them. The depth of knowledge and practical tips I've gained have boosted my confidence and enriched the content that I bring to you every week. As a listener of Haunted American History, you get an exclusive 15% off an annual membership. Just visit masterclass.com/haunted. That's masterclass.com/haunted to save 15% on limitless learning. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you going to lose? Don't wait. Join me and start transforming your passions into expertise by visiting masterclass.com/haunted. I'll see you there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good evening. That was fun.
I feel like you have said in the past that you wanted to do that a lot.
That's like the greatest thing ever. Good evening.
Hey, I like it.
I would greet everybody with a creepy good evening.
Just start doing it.
I should, but I'm afraid people will call the police. I would. If somebody came up to me and was like, good evening.
That's true.
I'll be right back. Hold on. I'm gonna dial a little 911. Welcome, everybody, to the Folklore Fireside. I almost flubbed the name again. I am your host, Christopher Feinstein.
And I am Megan Feinstein. Whoa, I jumped right in there. I am so sorry.
Taking over the show. I've had a little rough week with this Folklore Fireside, folks.
Tell us why.
Because every comment is celebrating of Megan. Every comment on Spotify.
I'm a fresh new look on the podcast.
Yeah.
Shiny and new. That's all.
I said I took all the time to build this world. you've swooped in and have taken it from me.
Listen, it's a nice format. We have fun, we hang out, we chat. We're like the new Tom Segura and Christina P.
Oh man, what a day.
But it's what we aspire to be.
That's
at
what
least.
We aspire to. That's what you aspire to.
It is what I aspire to. Christina P is the best.
Yeah. So anyway, folks, we are here tonight because we are taking a little trip down south from chilly New Jersey. We are going to head to a place that we enjoy quite a bit. Megan?
Yeah.
Anytime you want to jump in.
We do. How many times have we been there now? Probably three?
I think only twice.
Is it twice? So yeah. Chris and I have visited Key West only on cruises. So they've only been cruise stops. So they've only been day trips. We've never spent an extended period of time there, which we keep saying we want to, but I always drag him to Disney World. So
yeah, that's true. If you couldn't tell from her background,
don't judge me. So our first cruise together, we were together only how many months? 3-4
We booked it. We were together 3 months.
So, I mean, I would not recommend booking a vacation. No,
that's the most dangerous thing. First of all, listen, I got nothing to hide. We met on the internet. So that's where we met. And, you know, we started dating. And literally 3 months, we were like, me was like, you want to go on a cruise?
Neither of us have ever been on a cruise at that point.
She's like, you know what? I've never been. I said, me neither. I've always wanted to. Me too.
And okay.
I said, and while we're on this cruise in the middle of the ocean with each other, stranger, do you want to visit a doll that kills people?
Sure do.
Sure do.
Is that how you knew I was the one?
I mean, probably. If the doll didn't get you, and I didn't get you, then
there you go.
Then that's how you know.
So anyway, so we book a cruise. We're only together a few months, and might I say it was a fantastic time.
We had a great time.
It was like an 8-day cruise around the Bahamas and Key West. It went to the cruise lines, private island. And one of the stops,
met Cruise Chris for the first time.
Oh yeah, Cruise Chris. Cruise Chris gets drunk on lots of fruity cocktails and
much like the rum punch I'm drinking this evening to celebrate.
Delicious. You know?
Down on the Florida Keys.
So anyway, we're in Key West and it's one of the stops and we do this haunted trolley tour. We go see the fort that's there. We see the Hemingway House, which is a whole other thing we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, we go to the place where Robert the Doll is kept. And at the time, I didn't really know much about Robert the Doll. I don't know if you knew
A little bit. I knew, like, you know, just the basic stuff. Like, you know, I knew he was the inspiration or one of the inspirations for Child's Play.
Yes. Yes. So we go. We're like, yeah, this is cool. We're doing all the spooky things around Key West. And, you know, we're going on the little tour. We get to where Robert the Doll is. He's in this big glass case. And there's all these letters and stuff posted around from people who have written to Robert the Doll.
Yeah.
Because if you don't ask his permission to take a photo.
Yeah, bad things happen.
He will curse you. The people have reported car accidents, broken bones, family members getting hospitalized, like super bad luck things. And all you hear around us is, Robert, may I please take your photo? Robert, may I please take your photo? And look at each other like, are we going to say it?
Are we going to do this? Like I laughed probably harder than I've ever laughed in my life.
I laughed because I was like a nervous, uncomfortable laugh. And I was like, I don't want anything bad to happen. So I, under my breath, asked his permission.
Oh, I most definitely did. I was like, yeah, this is so stupid. We're all grown people here talking to a stuffed animal. And
yeah,
right before I snapped that photo, I said, Mr. Robert, sir, can I please take your photograph?
May I please? So we did.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, that was a great trip. That was it's a really cool experience. If you ever find your way down in the Key West area. The Key West area. Why would I say that? Before you saw the Key West area, it's so stupid. I say such stupid things.
Just somewhere in the Keys, I guess.
If you find yourself in Key West,
there you go.
Go pay old Bobby a visit. But don't say that to him. Don't call him Bobby. Don't
make any kind of jest.
You know what, Robbie? I'm so sorry I said that stuff. Because
he knows.
He's got feelers. He's got his pals. Watching.
There you go.
Over my shoulder.
Right there. Nice touch, by the way, having the dolls in the background.
I tried to put up my green screen and it fell down and I was making all kinds of racket in this room. And while the baby's sleeping. Yeah, and I said, I can't do this. So let me just leave it bare. I covered your shoes. She has a big shoe shelf right there. I threw a robe over it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So I didn't want to get made laughs at.
Like, oh, and, Chris, that's some nice assortment of shoes.
Yeah. Nice shoes, all the comments. Nice shoes, Chris. And I would just been so...
You would have been so mad.
Get so mad. Anyway, before we go any further, let's go back. Let's go all the way back.
Let's give everyone a little summary, right? Of what we're really talking about.
What now. We're really talking about. It starts out with a young man named Eugene. Eugene Robert Otto, or Gene, as his family called him. I wonder if they ever just said, like, hi, Gene. You know, like if he didn't like shower or anything.
Hi, Gene, I get it.
Probably pretty funny joke. He was he was a young boy in the early 1900s, and he came into possession of this doll that he adored. It was a life-size doll. It was just as big as him, and he used to take it everywhere. And he even named it. He named it Robert after his middle name. Now, the story of Robert and where Robert came from, there's a few, and no one could really nail down the exact origin of Robert the doll, at least in my research. They know for sure that he was made in Germany, and he was made by the Stief factory or the Stief factory, and they're a company who's best known for making the first teddy bear. And they still make like really like high end teddy bears today. And they guessed that he was part of some sort of window display just because of the way his features are. And they don't think that he was just your everyday off the shelf doll. So now how you say to yourself, how does a doll that was made in Germany get to Key West in the early 1900s? Well, I'm going to tell you. One of the most common stories is that in 1904, while on a trip to Germany, Eugene's grandfather purchased the doll. He saw the doll in the store or in the display and said, this is what I need. I need this doll for my grandson. It's his birthday when I get back, and I want to give this to him as a gift. That was the first. That's what people think. That's the most common story. And they say that the sailor suit that he was in was one of Eugene's suits as a kid. So, it was a life-size doll, so the clothes fit him. So he slapped him on in there.
I had noticed you're not wearing your sailor suit tonight, Chris.
No, I wanted to so bad. I was looking all over the house. I'm not even exaggerating either. I was like, I'm so mad I don't have a sailor hat. Take a little rum sip.
Nice little sippy. As Cordelia would go.
There are others who say that Robert was created by... Now, Robert, Eugene's family, the Ottos, were well-to-do. They had some money. I mean, to me, I think that if you live in Key West, to have a little home, even in the 1900s, that was probably some sought-after properties. And they had a servant woman who lived with them, and she was a Haitian woman, and she was very fond of Gene. And she was, they say that she was very protective over Gene, and that she put a hex or a spell or some sort of magic, some sort of voodoo on the doll to infuse it with just raw magical power, just to just keep an eye on this boy. And something went wrong, her spell went astray, and something unintended latched onto this doll. And that's when all the mischief started happening. But then other people say that Eugene's dad was abusive. And he was abusive to the staff. and he was abusive to the same woman who they said put the spell on the doll to protect Jean. But instead, she put the hex on the doll to enact her revenge on the family. So that's some of the stories that surround the family. There are also dozens of locals who have their own stories. You go around Key West and you talk about Robert Duvall with the locals, they're all going to have their own original tale.
It's like, oh yeah, Robert, my friend Robert.
Right. They're their buddy. And there's locals that say that he washed up on the shores of Key West. He was on a doomed ship that was sailing over from Europe, and Jean's family salvaged it when they found it on the beach. And many believe that the devil, that the devil was responsible for what happened, that he was the one who caused the shipwreck, the ship that Robert the doll was being transported on that caused him to be shipwrecked and washed up on the shore. And that he carries the souls of all the damned sailors. So that's a fun one.
It's crazy how differing the stories are, though, from being bought in Germany and then brought home for a birthday to being washed up on the shore. I mean, it's such different.
Oh yeah.
Tales, you know, yeah. It's that's not similar at all.
No, there's another one that says that it wasn't the doll that was cursed. It was the clothing, that the sailor suit was cursed, that Jean's mom happened to walk past a small shop in Key West, one of these small little head shops that had, you know, clothing and all kinds of things. And she saw this little cute sailor suit hanging up for her little boy. And she bought it. And they said that the cloth that it was made from was wool pajamas worn by a boy who died of yellow fever. And his spirit is still, you know, housed inside the clothing, and that's what Robert the doll is enacting, this angry child who is mad that he died.
That is wild. It's just wild, the stories that come from these things.
But that's folklore, you know. That's these, you know, they're oral tales that get passed down, and they morph, and they, you know, someone else hears it, and it's like, oh well, then, you know, it's like telephone, and people start making up their own narratives and add on, and eventually people start telling the same story over and over and over, and they just believe it. And that becomes the truth, the true story. And they all just, everyone just keeps repeating it. And then someone else gets it, and they had their own thing.
I would love if there's anybody who listens to this episode after it's posted, if anybody from the Key West area, anything like that, had heard locally of any more tales too.
Any kind of different stuff. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to know that.
Yeah. The house where Jean grew up is now known as the Artist House. It's not a private home anymore. I believe it's like a bed and breakfast now. It's on Eaton Street, if anyone's I think Eaton Street was where you almost broadsided the van.
Let's not talk about that.
On our last trip. No, we're gonna talk about that.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So background, I had never ridden a scooter before. And if you've ever been to Key West, you really just don't drive a car. You just don't. All the locals either have a scooter, they walk, they take their bicycles, golf cart, anything like that. Because I don't even remember how long the island is, but it's not long.
It's not big. No, it's very small.
So being the tourists that we are, we rented scooters. I said, yeah, I could do this. I know how to ride a bike. I got this.
Now, I ride motorcycle. Say that. I ride motorcycle. Why did I speak like that? It's really a sin. It's really, really a shame that I'm trying to like talk for like, I talk a lot. I put out a lot of me speaking into the world. Like, there's over 100 episodes of this podcast of me speaking.
Maybe this is why it took you so long to go live.
Well, exactly. This is exactly the reason why it took me so long to get go live. A 30-minute episode takes me 3 hours to record because of this.
Oh, that's great. So, why don't you can take the story from here about the scooter? Right.
So I ride motorcycles, so I know how to ride a scooter. I'm trying to explain to you how to do it. Now we've gone. I had a little scooter that I used to putt around with, and you rode it in like I brought you to the schoolyard by the school parking lot, the high school parking lot near my parents' house, and took you around the parking lot. Then you did fine.
I was great.
You were great around the parking lot. Perfect. But I explained to you, I was like, now being alone in a parking lot driving in circles is a lot different than navigating traffic.
Very and true.
You were very adamant. I could do it. I know what I'm doing. And oh, you're welcome, Pat. Pat's the proud owner of the scooter now. I don't know. See, this is again why I don't do anything live because I lose my. Oh, so anyway, right. So we're in Key West. Megan's wearing flip flops, by the way.
Honestly, I was on vacation.
Yeah, but you're riding.
I didn't know. I said,
Key down, West. I said, oh, she's around in flip flops. Oh,
I'm gonna die. God. Get road rash.
She's like, I'm good. I'm ready to go. We're gonna go. And literally, as soon as we pulled out, we were gonna make a right. We're like, we're heading down this way, and you would think that Megan's driving a tractor trailer because it is the widest turn and she almost completely drives right into the side of a van. And my heart jumped into my chest. I said, oh my God, she's going to die. She's going to get T-boned. She's going to fly into traffic. Yeah, barely.
I stopped. I was
like,
good.
You were like, you could have put your head in the guy's window. Like, hey, how are you? Excuse me. So we went right back to the place where we rented them from. And I said, listen, take these back. Give us a golf cart. But the guy's like, I don't have any golf carts.
They were all rented out.
Yeah, I was like, God damn it. She's going to die. All right, let's go. Let's go.
Get off. I was flawless the rest of the day.
The rest of the time. You had that one little hiccup that you almost died. And then the rest of the way was good.
We were good.
Yeah. It was terrifying. That was the scariest experience of my life, I think.
It was scarier than meeting Robert the Doll?
It was close. Maybe Robert the Doll did it because this was our second trip.
Ooh.
And we didn't ask him properly. Maybe he didn't like the way I whispered it. I should have been prouder. Maybe. And then I was on the island.
Kiss of a warning. It wasn't.
Yeah. He's like, listen, this is what you get. You want to play around with me? Yeah. Oh, could be. Goodness. So anywho. That's where the house is at. The scene of Megan's murder was on Eaton Street. Now, that's where Eugene was given Robert. That's where their friendship was forged. That's where he lived together with this seemingly ordinary cloth doll. But it wasn't long until strange things started happening. And first, it was just a little things, something a little bit out of the ordinary. Things moving around, things, noises, little bangs on where them seeing Robert like in a spot. It's like, how'd he get here? I don't remember putting him here. And then there was one night when Gene, he was 10 years old. He woke up to find Robert sitting at the end of his bed and just staring at him. And Gene's parents were sleeping soundly down the hall, you know, having themselves a nice, peaceful rest. And then all hell broke loose. Crashing, banging. Now, imagine we're sleeping and we hear that going on in our daughter's room. How, as a parent, do you react to that?
I don't know. I mean, I know I'd run in.
Crashes that a child couldn't make.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I mean, my initial gut reaction would be I would run in and probably just scoop her up and back out.
Well, right. That's what the parents, they said it sounded like gunfire. It was just a hail of noise. And the parents shoot up, obviously, out of bed and go darting down the hall towards Jean's room, and they hear their son shouting behind the room, screaming for help. So now they go to bust the door down, and the door won't budge. Like, it's opening a little bit, but it's like as someone on the other side is holding it, pushing it shut. Now, obviously, yeah, it's not Jean, because Jean's a 10-year-old boy, and he's not strong enough.
I'm sick to my stomach.
He's not strong enough to, you know, be able to hold out two grown adults fueled by adrenaline and, you know, lack of sleep. But eventually the noise stopped and the door just slowly opened by itself.
That is so terrifying.
And Gene was sitting in his bed with just tears streaming down his face. And he just pointed at the doll and just said, "Robert did it." And then "Robert did it" became like a moniker. It's just constantly. Anytime something happened, "Robert did it."
Yeah, Robert did it.
Now, they had at that point, what do you do? What's your options?
I mean, in my mind, but this is nowadays, seeing scary movies and things, I'd be like, I'd want to get rid of the doll. But if I got rid of the doll, it would just come back.
Right. Well, that's a chance. That's a chance. When, now, I said before that Robert the doll was the inspiration for Chucky, but there was something else that was the inspiration for Chucky, and it was the My Buddy doll. Do you remember the My Buddy doll?
I remember it from just really seeing like commercials and things. Yeah. I don't really remember it being a staple when I was a kid.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it was a little bit after you. I'm older than you. I'm older
before me.
Before. Oh, yeah. Right. That's right. That makes more sense. A little bit before you.
But I know what the doll is and everything. So
yeah, it was My Buddy.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have one.
I had one. And it was the scariest thing that I owned. I used to scream and beg at night for my parents to get rid of it. I stuffed it in a closet.
That was me with Furby.
But see, Furby didn't make a movie, but a butcher-wielding, foul-mouthed boy.
No, but my two Furbies would talk to each other and go cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning. In the closet.
Did they have batteries? Imagine they didn't have batteries.
Well, I mean, I...
Did you ever check?
No, but I...
Well, why not?
My assumption was they did.
Never assume. You know what they say about assume. Yeah, the My Buddy doll really, really messed me up. But also it was because I watched Child's Play at far too young of an age.
You know what? I don't think I watched Child's Play until probably college.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're probably because you're a normal person.
Well, I was very sheltered, I feel like. I just didn't. I wasn't allowed to do things. And I said, okay.
I'm not going to do that. You must not watch that movie, Megan. Okay, I will not.
Okay, I won't. Like, I was such a good kid.
You were a good kid. It's just, I just didn't make the mistake of telling anybody.
That's true. But you also, you grew up very close with your cousin, who's a few years older than you. And even though you're the oldest of three boys, you still had older boy influences in your life with your cousins. Yeah. So I feel like you had that exposure where a lot of like oldest kids don't. But you did, because of your cousins.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know if that made sense.
It does. It does make sense.
Oh, you highlighted the Massier comment. I love it.
Yeah, those are highlighting all the hellos. Hello, everybody. Hello, Justin. Hello, Elizabeth. Thank you for making it. I'm going to say hi to Jess, too. Hi, Jess and Pat.
Hi, guys.
Anywho. Where was I? I was talking about, what would you do in that situation?
Faint. Get my daughter and then faint.
Now, they said now that nobody's really for sure why or how that this child, this plaything, could wreak havoc like this. Nobody knew, you know, but the strange didn't stop after that. That was like the first occurrence. they started reported seeing the doll speak and witnessing its face change with like emotion and all kinds of things. And they heard giggling and talking, and they heard their son, Eugene, talking and a strange voice talking back. And then they would like run into the room and be like, well, Gene, who are you talking to? And he'd be like, oh, just Robert.
Yeah, imagine, because this is the early 1900s. So 1900s. Obviously there's no technology, you know, there's no television, no. There's no cell phones. It's not Furby. It's not Furby. So there's no source of this voice. I mean, you could argue maybe there's a radio, but there's
it's not saying, hey, little darling, old ragtime gals of mine.
I'm going to kill your family. So, I mean, that is really the only piece of technology that you could argue would be maybe in this kid's room. But you can't mistake a voice at that period of time to be anything other than like a physical voice that's in there belonging to somebody.
Right. And they knew that's it wasn't their terrifying.
Son. Terrifying.
And it wasn't their son.
No, exactly.
It wasn't a child's voice. So now this went on throughout all of Robert's life, and Robert's parents did what parents do. They died.
Oh my God.
Well, they did. And Robert continued to live in Jean's in the house with Robert. And eventually he did move out though. And he met a girl, Anne, who he got married to. And you know what he said? He said, Anne, you know what? Let's go to my parents' house. Let's move in there.
But, I was going to say, didn't he have the doll into his marriage?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. He held on to it. But he decided at that point, though, that Robert needed his own room. He couldn't risk Robert having... Because I don't know if he told his wife right away. Which, how do you do that? Like, on the first date? Like, oh, by the way. Like, if I brought you to Key West and we went on a vacation. And on our little trip, we're on the little dune buggy thing, going through the haunted history of Key West. And I'm like, oh, by the way, you know, I have a doll back in my house that talks to me.
Yeah.
You want to come over?
I would have been like,
want to come over and talk to my talking doll?
I'm getting a cab to the mainland. I'm getting on a flight.
It's like, yeah, we're still in America. I'm out. I'm like, right. Oh, I just got to go to the bathroom.
Right. You never Jersey. See me again. In Jersey.
Hey, folks. You guys know I'm always diving into the dark corners of history, unearthing the stories that are sure to chill. Mastering the art of storytelling and research isn't just a passion. It's a craft. That's why I turned to Masterclass. Whether I'm analyzing historical documents or piecing together ghostly tales, Masterclass has been an invaluable resource in honing my skills. Masterclass lets you learn from over 200 of the world's best minds right at your fingertips. And the best part is it's all available for just $10 a month with an annual membership. I've been particularly captivated by the class on investigative journalism taught by Pulitzer Prize winner Bob Woodward. His insights into uncovering the truth may have transformed the way I approach each episode here. What's incredible is that 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. And trust me, I'm one of them. The depth of knowledge and practical tips I've gained have boosted my confidence and enriched the content that I bring to you every week. As a listener of Haunted American History, you get an exclusive 15% off an annual membership. Just visit masterclass.com/haunted. That's masterclass.com/haunted to save 15% on limitless learning. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you going to lose? Don't wait. Join me and start transforming your passions into expertise by visiting masterclass.com/haunted. I'll see you there. So he decided he needed his own room, and he placed him in the upstairs bedroom that had a window that overlooked the street in the front of the house. Now, Anne said she felt uneasy with Robert in the house, but she couldn't put her finger on it because she didn't know. And they were, you know, she just, well, first of all, that's a red flag. If you move in with your newlywed husband to your new home, which was his parents' house, and he's like, oh, this is Robert's bedroom. We can't go in there. Like, that would make you feel uneasy?
100%.
Uneasy? We'll call the police.
Immediately. Well, but here's the thing. So you're already married. You've known each other for, well, at that point, who knows for how long. But right. I don't know. And it's just the kind of thing that you would, yeah, you would be uneasy about it. But I don't know. Like, if we were married and you sprung that on me, I'd be like
newlyweds. Like, we just got married. We just got back from our honeymoon.
Yeah.
We were going into our new home. I'm like, oh, what's behind this room? What's in this? Although you could go in there. It's Robert's room. Who's Robert? It's my childhood doll.
Yeah, I would.
my childhood doll.
I would immediately get you psychiatric help.
Did they have that? They just had lobotomies then, I think.
Yeah. They did lobotomies up until probably, I think it was like the 50s or 60s. Like, they did lobotomies for a long time.
Imagine? Can you imagine?
No, all these people just were like pieces of their brain just.
They just scrambled. Scrambled
terrible.
Scrambled them eggs.
That is terrible. Thank God science and medicine have come such a long way.
We've come a long way. And just let me stick this metal spike up your nose and just give you an old swirly.
I don't know if this is true, but I read something that if babies up until a year old had to have like surgery or a procedure done, they didn't use anesthesia until the 80s.
What?
Yeah. So like any procedure, because they thought babies under a year didn't feel pain.
Who thought that?
I don't know. This is what I read because I'm a crazy, you know, new mom. So I come across these things. But how
learned doctors thought that?
Yeah. How wild.
I saw a crazy thing about anesthesia the other day that scared me half to death, that they said that there's some forms of anesthesia that don't numb the pain. They just make you forget that you had surgery.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, thank you. I know there's a small percentage of people who look like they're out, but they feel everything with anesthesia. They have like some sort of tolerance to it.
Yeah.
Remember that movie Awake? It was about that.
No.
I don't even remember when this came
out. Awake.
Yeah, it's called Awake. And I don't know why, but I think it was, what is the guy's name who plays Darth Vader now?
Hayden Christensen?
Yes, I think he was in it. I don't know if I'm making that up or not. But if anybody listening live right now can fact check me on that, because if I type, you'll hear lots of typing. But
Awake? I never heard of this movie. Yeah, it's
put under with anesthesia, but like, he's aware of everything going on.
Huh.
I saw it in the movie theaters.
You went to the movies to see this film?
Yes.
A Hayden Christensen-helmed psychological thriller?
I don't know for sure if it was.
You go and watch the strangest movies.
I'm going to fact check myself while you talk.
So like, I'm so perplexed constantly. I'm flabbergasted every time you open your mouth about what movies that you enjoy so much.
No. I never said I enjoyed it.
But, well, movies that you choose to see. Like, that's a strange choice.
Oh my God, it is Hayden Christensen. And it came out in 2007. And Jessica Alba's in it. And it's called Awake.
How much money did it make? How much was the ticket then?
How do I know?
$13 was the girl. You were the only ticket sale of that movie. I never even heard of this movie.
Yeah.
How long was it in the theater? Crazy. An hour and 48 minutes.
I'm on IMDb. I'm trying to find out. You just threw so many questions at me. It has a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's not that great.
It's an hour and 24 minutes. Came out in 2007.
How long it was in the theater? An hour and 24 minutes. That means 10 minutes of those are credits.
A wealthy young man undergoing heart transplant surgery discovers that the surgical team intend to murder him, but he's awake through the whole thing. Like, he doesn't get put under.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm sorry that I went on such a tangent.
See, I was right. But, Jerry told me I was right. Twilight anesthesia.
Oh, I had Twilight done when I got my little scope down my throat for my
You remember tummy. You had that pain.
No.
You just forgot about it.
That's what Twilight is?
I would never, ever, ever. I'm gone.
That was
I've had Twilight a lot too.
That was a nice nap. That
it was
Twilight
nice, but it wasn't a nap. You just forgot.
That's okay. Because I forgot, so I don't care. I do it again every day.
But what if you don't?
Nice nap.
That was nice.
Look, Elizabeth said I'd watch this. Thank you. I went to the movie theater because I don't know. That's what we did. 2007, I was 17. I was a senior in high school. So like, what was there to do? We would go to movies.
There's probably so many other better movies that came out in 2007.
But I saw so many movies when I was a senior in high school.
But you remembered Awake.
Okay, because we're talking about Anesthesia.
Hey, Ralphie boy. Ralph saw that movie.
See? Look. I'm not the only one. Thank you, Ralph.
This is wild. Huh, I don't know what to say. Anyway, let's get back to Robbie. Old Bobby the Doll. I'm sorry.
Say you're sorry to Robert formally.
I'm sorry, Robert the Doll, sir.
Thank you.
So, anywho, Robert, Mr. Doll, was very upset that he was put into this. He was relegated to one room in the house. I mean, he had full run of the joint while Gene was out getting hitched. And people who would come to the house, and Anne specifically, would report of footsteps being heard upstairs, of someone pacing. And she would hear like devilish giggling going on upstairs. Now, I can't deal with that. I hear the ice maker go on. I go to bed.
Yeah, you're bad with that stuff.
I'm jumpy. Oh, what was that? I gotta go get a stick. The neighborhood children would report of sightings of Robert at the window of the bedroom, waving down to them and mocking them as they walked to school. And now Gene heard this. Obviously, his wife told him, and the neighbors were like, "What's up? Wait, hey, Gene, you mind coming over here for a sec? I'm gonna ask you something. What's with the doll?" He's like,
"Yeah, that's. Can you imagine walking by?
And there's a doll at the window.
A doll at the window, and it's not Halloween, and you know, it's just like that's normal. Really...
Like... Right. Well, that's it's like Gene, buddy. Lawn looks great. What's with the doll?"
Are you aware of what's going on?
What are you doing? So now Gene heard this and he immediately went to investigate. Now he knew at this point that he had, at this point when all these little sightings were going on, he evicted Robert, took him out of the bedroom and brought him up and locked him in the attic. And this went on. After he did that. So it's like, wait a minute. I know that I brought Robert into the attic. How is this? What's happening? How is he in the bedroom? So he went up to take a look. And to his complete shock, he opened the door to the bedroom. And there was Robert sitting in the rocking chair. Just rocking back and forth. So he took him back up to the attic and locked him up. And time after time, Robert would end up back in the bedroom.
There's nothing creepier to me than dolls, let alone dolls that have been haunted. So, well, like, I hate seeing dolls right now on the bed.
Right behind me, I'm waiting for one of those little suckers to move.
Oh, that'd be great.
These guys. Imagine one, like, just turns and looks. I would run so fast.
Come on.
There's a window right here, and you would just see feet, and I would be gone. What's even creepier? The door behind me leads to our attic space. Like, it's like a secret room. It looks like a closet, that door, but it's not. It's like an attic. Not.
We want to do a bookshelf there to make it like a secret entrance.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for it to just slowly open. And then I have to come like this and just take me away.
See, you mentioned this the other day. Why did we never question why the lock on the door?
Right.
is from the bedroom, not on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that was like a normal thing. Like the I can't see if the doorknob has a lock on it. Wow, I pointed like almost exactly to the doorknob.
That was really good.
And I wasn't even looking. And the lock is on the inside of the house for whatever reason.
Right. So it's like the previous owner was keeping something out of the bedroom from the attic space.
Yeah. What was he keeping in there? I mean, nothing I found yet.
No, we've been in there, you know, all the time. And
I was in there, you know,
just before.
Right. An hour ago.
We have storage in there, you know, whatever. So it's, yeah, we've always been fine. We haven't seen anything.
At least I think. I'm going to wake up and there's going to be a mouth breather.
Hovering over you.
Hot breath. I always yell, Meg, get your hot breath over me, but it's not you. Maybe it's not you.
Oh, it's not me. It's the attic dweller. Not to mention we have really two attic spaces. We have that walk-in attic, plus we have like a traditional attic.
Yeah.
Too. That's a lot of attic spaces.
A lot of creep zone.
It's dark and scary up there.
Well, in 1974, this went all the way up to the 70s, by the way, and all this was going on. And that's when Gene eventually passed away. But as you can guess, Robert remained. And when Gene's house was sold, the new owners, you know, took possession of the house, and their daughter, who was 10 years old at the time, same age as Gene was when Robert came into his life, she was delighted to find a nice doll waiting for her in the attic. But that soon ended when she came running to her parents, screaming that the doll's alive. And she would wake up in the middle of the night and told her parents that Robert was running around her room and that he told her that he was going to hurt her if she didn't get out.
So that's when you leave the house, you burn it down.
Well, I mean, it's a paper doll. Just get the...
But it's not the vessel you need to be afraid of. It's whatever's possessing it.
Spook inside.
It could jump. I mean, if anybody who's ever seen any sort of like possession movie or heard any sort of tale, I mean, the thing can jump from one vessel to another.
That's the spooky hop.
The spooky
hop. Well, after that instance, that family decided enough is enough. Imagine from 1904 to 1974. 70 years, that other family dealt with this. And these guys, it was like 2 days.
They said,
Get this thing out of here. But at that point, he was like, Robert the Doll was like a minor celebrity in the Keys. Everyone knew the story. Everyone knew who he was. Everyone knew the house. So that's when he was donated to the fort, where he resides to this day.
And it's really interesting if you get the chance to go there and take the tour, the workers there. So like the security people, the maintenance people, if you catch one of them, they'll tell you their own tales too about working there and hearing the footsteps and actually seeing fingerprints on like little tiny fingerprints on the inside of the glass or footprints in the dust on the floor and stuff like that. Like they'll tell you straight up. And I don't know if it's just them adding to the spookiness of you know, working there and scaring tourists and stuff, or if they truly see these things. But that is part of the legend around Robert the Doll, is that at night he'll, you know, break out of his little glass case and just wreak havoc around the fort and stuff. And it's honestly very cool and very entertaining. And I'm dying to get back there.
Yeah, I really want to go back. But we go to Disney World over and over and over and over and over again instead.
And now we're doomed because we have
a child.
A daughter. Reliving the childhood memories that I have. I know you don't.
Have childhood memories. At all. She's like, living the childhood memories that I have. Chris didn't have any of those.
I'm saying the Disney memories because you didn't go as a kid. Don't make me to be such a bad guy. But it's fun. It's fun to go with her.
Yeah. Robert's reputation was known far and wide. It wasn't just the Key West. He wasn't just a Key West celebrity. Do you believe that President Bush actually wrote a letter to Robert when he first came into office?
Yeah, I remember. I don't know. Was the letter there when we went, or they told the story about it? But I
think it was there. I think they had it.
I think it was there, too.
It was his 103rd birthday.
Yes.
It was Robert's 103rd birthday. And the man with his finger on the button decided to write a letter to a doll asking him for no shenanigans while he's in office. So that shows like how much of a grip that like this story has, and how far and wide that it's spread. So it's wild. It really is wild the way that tales like this get passed on and how they take a life of their own.
It's fun though. It's fun to hear the folklore from, you know, around the country and being able to, you know, to say that we've been there and we've seen him in person and, you know, gracefully took his photo and we were so excited to do so. But yeah. It's really, really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's been countless movies and TV shows that have, been highlighted on Robert the Doll. Robert the Doll was on a TV show. I'm trying to remember what show he was on. He was brought. I can't remember. It was like one of those, like, it was like Montel Williams. It was like one of those like daytime talk shows.
They brought like the real Robert the
Doll.
The
real Robert the Doll, yeah.
Ooh. Scary.
I think it was that show. I don't remember. But yeah, that's Robert's story. That's Robert's tale. Robert's not the only, you know, haunted doll. There's the tales of haunted dolls go far and wide. Yeah, I mean, look, Annabelle. Annabelle's arguably like the most famous, and because of the success of like The Conjuring and the Annabelle movies and all that.
You know what I think is really funny about that is that I feel like being that so popular in you know, today, and I think they're making another one, whatever it is. So that franchise did really well.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people know that the actual Annabelle doll is a Raggedy Ann.
Oh yeah, it's a Raggedy Ann doll. Because they made it so, you know what? That's
so one of the scary.
That's one of the big things I have. One of the big problems I have with movies like that. Because it's so scary looking. It's like no kid or anything. Like, that's my biggest problem with the new It movies, the chapter 1 and 2. Because he is just, I've spoken about this at length on other podcasts because it just angers me so, because I'm such a fan of It. And Tim Curry's one is the one that did it. That's the chef kiss. Because he just looks like a clown. Like, in the new one, he's like drooling. He's got that big bulbous head. He's got his teeth.
Yeah, he's just always scary.
And he's just always scary. Like, no kid is going to, like, if I saw that in a sewer, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm so curious to, like, in the original one in the 80s, it's playful almost. It's like Tim Curry is almost endearing to that kid. It's like, oh, like, yeah, that would trick a child into walking over to it.
I think Tim Curry is the only reason that I can handle even watching that miniseries.
Yeah, well, you hate clowns.
Because I am so afraid of clowns.
Yeah, but like irrationally afraid.
Like, I fainted one time in a mall because there were clowns in the food court.
Those are just employees, Mick. We don't call them clowns.
Oh my god!
That's very mean.
You're very mean. Don't make me.
You said it. I didn't.
They were actual clowns in the food court at the mall in Maryland.
That's wild.
So,
what were they doing? What were they just having, like,
I don't know. I didn't stick around to find out.
Panda house or something?
I don't know. I think they were, like, I don't know, blowing up balloon animals for kids or something. There was, like, an event going on. So, yeah, so afraid of clowns. Love Tim Curry. Adore him. And Chris took me to the new It, the first one.
Oh, we went to the upstate.
Upstate New York to a drive-in, which was awesome. It was the first time I've ever gone to a drive-in. I loved it. But they had an actual Pennywise walking around with red balloons, and I am not okay with that. So
no, we're like right at the beginning of the movie. The movie just started. It's like the opening credits just finished. I think like Georgie is talking to Bill like on the bed. Nothing happened yet. And Megan let out an earth-shattering scream.
I was so scared.
You literally dove onto the floor of the car, and I didn't know
what. I was under the dashboard.
Under the dashboard. I didn't know what happened. I thought she died. I said, what? Oh, my God, what? And you're like, it's a clown. And now the clown sees it. So I'm like, you got to get up. You can't do this to us. He's going to be just around the car all night. You got to forget about it.
I couldn't help it. We're doomed.
We're targeted now. We're targeted.
I didn't know a real Pennywise was going to be walking around. I wasn't okay with that. So, yeah. And then half the movie I was terrified of, so I didn't watch half.
You didn't really watch. You didn't enjoy yourself that evening.
No, but you did. You had a good time. And I, yeah. You know, it was fun because it was a drive-in and we got the little snacks and stuff. Like it was very cute. Yeah. It was fun. Would I have preferred to see a Disney princess movie? Sure.
Yeah.
We didn't, no. But it was terrifying.
You don't go to a drive-in to see like a family movie at night.
I'm just saying, like something low-key and not spooky. Mm. That's all. Or maybe like Terminator 2, because that's my favorite movie of all time.
Terminator 2 wasn't showing.
I'm just saying, if it was, that would be my choice.
But it was on.
I know, and we went specifically for that. I know.
It's pretty great. I feel bad.
Don't feel bad. So back to, I agree. So the you know, reimagination of Annabelle is terrifying.
Yeah, it's stupid.
No kid would ever want that doll. The Raggedy Ann doll in itself, I think, is kind of creepy, but it's something that a child would use and play with. I mean, Cordelia played with one at my mom's house. So
yeah, so it's like they're not going to play with that demon looking doll.
No, no. So I do agree with you there. When things are made too scary.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, you wouldn't believe the premise to begin with, but it makes it that much more unbelievable.
Yeah.
So totally agree with you there.
There was a story from Japan in the early 1900s as well, around 1918, where a teenager, she bought a large doll from the Hokkaido province in Japan, obviously, because I said that, for... she bought it for her younger sister, and she gave the sister the doll, and the two became inseparable, that she would carry the doll everywhere. The doll was about 16 inches tall. It was draped in like the traditional like kimono. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful work of art, porcelain doll. Its hair was, you know, raven black, shoulder length, you know, traditional, like they call it like okapa hairstyle. A couple years later, after receiving this gift, now her and the doll were inseparable. She died unexpectedly, tragically, at such a young age. The family began to see the doll move around after the death. And they came to believe that she had taken housing inside the doll. And now her spirit occupies this doll. The thing would move around, and you know, they said that its hair would grow. Like the doll's hair started growing. And they have the doll today still in a shrine in a temple in Hokkaido. And the priests of that shrine regularly give it haircuts.
That is mind blowing.
Because the doll's hair grows.
Imagine.
So I don't know if it's some sort of ancient something. I don't know what the hell is happening, but
dolls, man.
They're creepy. Not
they are creepy.
It's a lot of creep. Creep the hell out of me. Now I know what you're all thinking. Chris, where can I get my own haunted doll? There is a market. The Akadazawa, I think is how you pronounce it.
I'm sorry. God bless you.
Probably. Thank you. it's a fetish market in Africa, West Africa, in Lomé, West Africa. And it's an open-air bazaar that is just full of just haunted dolls, shrunken heads, just bizarre occult things. It's like the Gringotts of Africa, where they just keep storage of just all these strange things. And you can go there and buy a potion, you can buy a love potion, you can buy a haunted doll, you can buy a shrunken head. And they have all these things there. And it's wild.
I've always been intrigued by the shrunken heads and stuff.
It's like, it's very big, like voodoo. It's like, it's in the Togo region, I believe. And the voodoo there is, you know, that's pretty much, they say there's over 2 million people who like actively practice voodoo. And it's a very important part of the culture, and especially in like the rural areas over there. You know, many families have their own voodoo shrines set up, and they put, apparently the haunted doll thing is through the roof. West Africa, they have the market cornered on haunted dolls. So, just banged my hand against something.
That's good. So I can assume we're never going to travel to Western Africa then.
No.
You're too scared.
I won't go there. Scary places, not for Chrissy.
Too many haunted dolls for you.
There's a lot of bad things that can get you once you leave your house.
Once you leave your house.
It's very safe here. Unless that door behind me opens then.
That's what I mean. Is it safe? We don't know.
We don't know. But, folks, I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. That's the story of Robert the Doll and all the other thingamajiggers that we've talked about this evening.
Yeah, plenty of tangents.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But thank you all for joining us. I play a little music on the outro. Before I go, I have to say thank you to all the members of the Haunted American History Patreon. Thank you all so much. Your guys' support literally means the world to me. RNG Games, Old J Fine, Monica, Jen, Mallory, Elizabeth Mama, Candace, Roy, Deanna, Alyssa, Pam, Irene, Jen G, Charlie, Michelle, Liz Young, Trevor, Rachel, Christina, Allison, Karen, Charles, Cammy, Nina, Becca, Amanda, Timmy, and Mr. Taco. Tell Mr. Taco I said hello. Sasha, Alexandra, Jay, Jerry. Jerry, thanks for being here tonight. Axel, Will, and Morgan. Thank you all so much for being members of the Patreon. And let's talk about some folklore and stuff. I'm Christopher Feinstein.
I'm Megan Feinstein.
And this is Haunted American History Folklore Fireside. Thank you all for joining us. Later, folks.